Well, here we are, Wednesday night, July 24th. New glasses, and I still can't read the calendar. And we are at part 21 of Life's Issues, just taking some of the things that kind of show up in day-to-day life. And we kind of taken a couple and run with them, like the religion one. We just kind of got down into the Baptist camp, as they say, the Baptist world. And ended up going after the Bible believer ones and how so many of their things just really aren't biblical at all. They say they are, but they're so wrongly divided and it's not against the people, et cetera, et cetera. And as I was getting into this stuff, I just saw in the last couple weeks, you know what this is doing? If you get out of religion, just like our trip to St. Helens a number of years ago, but Paul's bottom line was in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's just do a short review. Because if anybody out there hasn't listened to any of these, maybe they'll just pop this one up and then they won't go the rest. Let's just do a quick review here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is Paul's bottom line. You know, he tells us to follow him as he follows Christ, and Christ is the risen Savior, etc., etc. But he really gets down to the nitty-gritty in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Not everybody knows that this is the marriage-divorce chapter, because most people that preach about marriage and divorce and remarriage must not read this because they got it all wrong out there. But he says in verse 7, "For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I." Then he goes on and says, "But if they cannot contain, it's better for them to get married. But if you do get married," he says in verse 32, "I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife and husband, etc., etc." So, really, part of our struggles and frustrations for those of us who are married is because we have to take care of some needs in this world that we wouldn't have to if we weren't married. Unless, of course, we're of those that can't contain, and you know, it goes on, and there are those of us who've been married for years and didn't know this stuff. Then there are those that learn when one of them gets hold of the Paul thing and the other one doesn't. Then there's family conflict, whichever gets it first, wife or husband. You know, there's a difference, there's a challenge in there. Well, the mom and the dad get it, but the kids don't get it, and the dad steps up to the Ruckman plate, you know, the Striver offensive plate, and says, "Well, we're just quitting this church," and which is fine. You're going to quit the church. That's what you ought to be doing. But then again, you got to remember that you're married now, and there's needs, and they don't see what you're seeing yet. So sometimes we jump off the bridge and drag our family with us, and on the way down, we're safe, we're comfortable, because we know we're going to land properly, but they don't, and they're not. We have all sorts of struggles and problems, because we just think that now that we got a hold of Paul, we can just step right off. And Paul says, listen, if you're married, you're not going to be able to do that as easily. And so that was our bottom line. We talked about Paul's purposes then. And yes, those are still purposes for each one of us. But we got to remember that if we are married, that there's challenges in there that we have to fulfill to take care of our family needs. We can't just do the Baptist blow off and say, listen, here's the way it's going to be, woman and kids and he says, Paul's goal for our families is to have peace. And if one of the spouses doesn't want to do this and really makes a big fuss about it, then you can get the divorce thing. He wants peace in your house. But if either one of them that doesn't get it, but one gets it, one doesn't, but neither one causes problems, then hey, you got peace in the family, stay with it. You'll probably win them over just by being a good Christian without striving, like he says in Timothy, and without being offensive, like he says in Acts. And just being the Christian shouldn't really offend people. It's when you stuff it at them and they have no clue what you're talking about. Just like this guy gets onto the website and looks at it and says, man, it sure looks good, but I knew once he dug into that thing, he's not going to get it, not going to understand it. You know, it's not that you can just jump into that website and grab any old sermon and know what's going on. I mean, it's even a temptation for me to take out all the years of sermons in there except for the most recent. I mean, we have come as far as we can with Paul, up to as far as we can. We've come this far with Paul, and we review everything anyway when I do a sermon. Maybe we should just pull out, what have we got it back to, 2000, We're going to check it out. We got it back to like 2007 or 2008 or is it 2003? Let me just look. We're talking to family here. I hope this doesn't mess up my computer now that I think about it. Go down to the archive picture, which is the two guys fishing. 2004. You know, maybe I should go back to this thing and take out all the 2004, 5, 6, 7, 8. Go back to 2011 or something, you know? Some of those earlier sermons, they're a good start, but we've gotten further. I don't know. This is one of those thoughts. But how long did that take to take everything out of the server from 2000? Well, that'd take quite a while. Ah, I got plenty of time. So then Sunday night, we talked about it a little bit more specific. So it's not that I'm against marriage. I'm not against being married. I'm not against people being married. I'm just helping us realize that if we want to go to the basic bottom line of Paul, and that's to be what he says there in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, every man hath his proper gift of God. Do you know what your gift of God is, and are you able to fulfill it? Are you able to be the Christian that you believe you should be able to be? We know that the workplace is killing us. We know that the workplace doesn't allow you ladies to be modest. We know that most family people don't want to be modest, especially the girls and everything. Guys, they could care less, but the girls, they don't realize who they are and what they are anymore these days. They're just another person with different parts and stuff. It doesn't bother them. I see this at the school all the time. They don't care that they have to show what they show. But yet in a home, if the wife gets a hold of the Paul thing and doesn't want to dress the way her husband's wanting her to dress, that causes problems. And if the guy gets a hold of this thing and says, honey, you can't wear that stuff anymore, there's problems there. Kids, you can't go to teen class anymore because they're feeding you a bunch of flesh music. Yeah, well, they like the flesh music. So there's problems there. You know, it's tough. Ladies, you're having to work because you have no option. You have no choice, you know. This is the dispensation of grace. That's just the way it is. I'm sure the church should be able to be there for people to help them more. That was one of the questions this guy asked me, in fact, was how do you fulfill the missionary thing as a church? I said, well, if people have needs, we have had other people give large amounts of money to me, which then I send out to somebody else. We've done that a number of times. And we keep in touch with emails. You got a guy down in the Philippines who stays with us all the time, and he writes, and you know, it can happen. Doesn't have to be in this fantastic little brick building church, you know, with debt behind it and everything. So that was Sunday night. Now tonight, we're just going to go with Paul's bottom line a little bit and get a little kind of on a specific thing here. As we realize what's going on, we realize it. Let's go to Psalm chapter 11. It's a psalm, but that's okay, because it's also in Timothy, which I'll show you here in a minute. Psalm chapter 11. We know this is what we're dealing with as we try to possibly go back to Paul's bottom line, which is just you and God. That's the bottom line, by the way. Without any interference. In fact, it says, you don't have to turn, so I'll just read it to you. It says there in 1 Corinthians 7, I'll just say it to you, you don't have to dig it back in case you want to. 1 Corinthians 7, towards the end of that chapter, he says, to attend upon the Lord without distraction. That's Paul's bottom line. If any of us can do that, that's a spectacular thing. And yeah, you guys, you folks out there that are single, you can do that much easier than those that are married. And the woman has her stuff that Paul has written to women to be as a Christian. And if you can do that, then go for it. You know, even in the workplace or whatever. I mean, you know, and when you do what you can do. If you can't, you can't. But I know of some people that have the choice and don't make the choice. That's kind of one of my frustrations. I know some of these young girls out there that are working and they want to be the Paul thing, but they don't make that choice. I saw it somewhere. I wrote it down. I was going to make a sermon out of it. I guess I can just mention it now if I can find it, though. Courage in your convictions was the phrase I heard. Wasn't talking about church or anything like that. It was just a phrase I saw. We don't have much courage with our convictions anymore. And I think it's because we are so gone. For example, Psalm 11:3, this is that verse where it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now we realize that we're righteous because of His righteousness, not because of ours, but we also realize that the foundation has been destroyed. The foundation for true Christianity would be the King James Bible. The foundation for America was the Constitution. And we know how that's doing lately. And what's the foundation for ourselves? Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. What is our basic... We say King James Bible, but it gets a little bit closer than that. 2 Timothy 3. And he says, talking to Timothy, continue thou in the thing... No, verse 13, 2 Timothy 3:13. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. That's us. We know what we've learned, and we know we've been assured, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Well, we've learned them from the risen Savior. Well, we've learned them from Paul, who learned them from the risen Savior. We learned them from a King James Bible rightly divided to Paul. We have all the confidence that we can muster, I believe, in our assurance of what we're hearing is the truth. We may not want to do it. We may have problems with it. We struggle with our flesh or with our mind and all this kind of stuff. We have the things that prevent us from giving ourselves to the Lord, attending upon the Lord without distraction. We have distractions. Got tons of distractions. We are our own distraction, even. So, but we know what's going on here. With the Constitution down and the Bible down and the Word of God is like kaputz, we realize that Amos 8:11 is just so much closer than we ever thought it was. Let's just read it again and just kind of remind ourselves just how that thing is written, because we are beginning to experience this thing. We're not in the tribulation yet, but I don't have a problem saying that we're awfully close. And when it comes to that thing, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, which is interesting, isn't that on the from sea to shining sea? And from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. And that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Well, they're not seeking it yet. But I believe those that know what we've talked about and have left us will know where to go back to it. But when it says here, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. I mean, here's a guy that calls me because he knows he's not being taught the word of the Lord. So God sends him to our website, which teaches the word of the Lord, and he goes, no, I don't think so. I don't think that's right about Paul or whatever. He's probably been so scared it off by teaching about hyper guys that he just saw the word Paul and just took a hike. That's just really something. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we still have our foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we know that it's Paul through the risen Savior, King James Bible, rightly divided. And he even says so in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that is referring to the risen Savior, Christ. So Paul's the one that lays the foundation. Not Peter, not James, not John. You know, I think that's very important when you read that. Okay, so look at 2 Timothy. So I don't even know if you guys go through your pages and you flip your pages around, or you just look at it and just let me read them. I don't know where you're at with that even, come to think of it. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, which sounds a lot like John talking. But now we know this is Paul talking. So we can find, instead of going to John to find where he says that, we go to where Paul says that. So if we want to show it to somebody, we show them what Paul says. In the gospel days, Jesus knew, they knew his voice. They knew that was Jesus talking. But we don't go there today. We go to Paul to say the same thing. In 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what's going on. I mean, if this guy can be sent to this website by God, if that's how this thing works, you know, for this is my his thinking, then why was he not able to see the truth that was there? Because it wasn't based on a church teaching. It wasn't based on a mid-Acts concept. He's still sticking with the Baptist thing. He's trying to find some place that supports what he already believes. So he's not going to come to the knowledge of the truth either. Unless, again, like you say, he's checking, he's studying. Okay, so anyway. We talked about, I'm just kind of doing some review here. Let's not do that here. What we're dealing with, the foundation gone, we've got blindness more than we've ever seen. Romans 11, Ephesians 4, you know, the blindness about Israel and the having their understanding darkened because they're blind in their hearts. That's we just don't get anywhere with anybody. Reprobate minds, Romans chapter 1 and 2, you know. We have perversional lifestyle, the alternate lifestyle, is just common today. It's just accepted and expected. We could go to Jeremiah, Galatians, Philippians. There's places to go. We've got teenage mobs mobbing around the country, and if they're black, everybody's afraid to do anything or say anything for fear of, you know, that kind of thing. Religion is just all pumped up flesh anymore. Churches everywhere. It's amazing. Yeah, we did talk Sunday morning and Sunday night about how Adam and Eve, yes, it's the woman that you gave me, Lord, but God says, it is, and I'm taking care of her, but in the meantime, you're responsible for this. You're the one accountable for this. And so the hammer comes down on Adam as well. Okay, so this was leading me then to tonight's subject. And let's go to Romans chapter 1. It's still about Paul, but it's going to be more about us than Paul. But we're looking to Paul for our end sample. Romans 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And it's all we need to go, a servant. So we're just looking at the fact that Paul was a servant of Jesus Christ. Christ told him, and here's what Paul did because of it. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, and let's look at a servant. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we're looking at the concept of a working person having an employer. We have a job. You're the servant to your boss. You do what your boss tells you to do. And we know that if you want to keep that job, some things you got to just give up. You've got to give up some degree of modesty. If they go to a certain point, which they do in the stores, where they make you wear certain clothes, or they make you wear clothes that are immodest, or they make you behave towards the men customers in order so they come back to the store, now you got a problem. Do we have enough courage with our modesty conviction to say, you know, boss, I'm sorry, but I can't do that? And again, I'm not picking anybody's specific situations or whatever, but we're looking at a servant and a master. You've got a job, you've got a boss. And we're going to carry beyond that to the simple fact that we are a servant of Christ as well. So it all kind of merges together to puts the ball back in our park, in our part of the court. For example, I'll show you what I mean. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. That's your boss. With fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Now, Bob, that's a tough one, I would say. Because of who your boss is, are. And I've always had trouble with my bosses because they're not music people. They're administrators. And this is the only one I've really had, and I've had probably two, maybe three, who knows, that have been very supportive of music in a thing. And so I never really paid them much attention. Most of my jobs have been away from the building or in a different part of the building. I've never really been part of the school gang, you know. And I finally had to learn that my boss is my boss, and I just have to let my boss tell me what to do, and if it doesn't work, it's his problem, not mine. Or her problem, not mine. Whatever. So, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. And that's really got to be tough if you've got an idiot, jerk, brainless, grumpy, unfair, go down the list, bosses or masters. You know, that's a tough deal. In verse 9, it talks about, it reminds the masters, by the way, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respective persons with him. So don't you get so high and mighty, boss. And if a boss and an employer and an employee situation could get a hold of the biblical way, it'd be a great place to work. But the foundation's gone, the constitution's gone, the Bible's gone, all this kind of stuff. And so they're making all you ladies, especially out in the workplace, do stuff that you really, really should not have to do. Then you got the guys who probably can't even get the job because there's 16 women ahead of him, and everybody is hiring women, not guys. Doesn't help the fact that most of the guys are wusses, and they're coming out being able to do exports, you know, do funny things with their skateboard. That's going to get them a career. You know, they got really fast thumbs on their iPods and all this junk. They got D's and F's in school, but they don't care. We're tough. We're guys. We play football. We play football. And it just doesn't work. So there's one illustration of a servant. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm doing the conclusion first. The way I had this thing written out, this is going to be the conclusion. But we're doing the conclusion first, and then the intro will be very short at the end here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Here we go. Let us know. By the way, this is that chapter where he gets into the, he is proud, knowing nothing, doubt about questions, the Bible correctors, right? We know that. Verse 3, it says, if any man consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, then here's the description of them. Well, the other half of this whole little teaching in here is a employee working for an employer. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor. That's serious? Yeah. That's what we're supposed to do. That the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. That's what we do as workers in a job. If we don't be the Christian and listen to our boss and do a thing, then we're blaspheming the name of God and His doctrine. Because we tell people we're a Christian, right? And then it says, and that's a lost boss. Because verse 2, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. Well, now think of your boss. Do you know he's that way? Are you sure he's that way? Maybe he's not that way. Maybe he's just a modern Christian. We don't know what it's like. I mean, all these things go through our mind. Tough stuff, especially when you're a Paul Christian, because you are really a Christian. And you're seeing those bosses and those Christians out there having you do stuff that you know you shouldn't do. Plus, you got their incompetence as a boss anyway. I was taught for years that anybody who can't do something, you know, be the teacher, be the boss, be the administrator. If you can't do it, go out there and teach somebody how to do it. That way you don't have to do it yourself. Although I tried being a principal for 1 year, and I didn't mind it except for the parents. That took all the fun. And the pastor, he had no clue how to have a school in his church, so that didn't work. Okay, so that says there, you know, where does it say that? It says here, from such withdraw thyself. You know? If you got a guy that's not teaching that in your church or whatever, or you got a boss that's just then you just leave. Just like Paul says, we're to have peace in our home. We should have peace at the job. I mean, there's stress, and there's time plans, and there's times, deadlines, and things the way he wants you to do it. Isn't your way of doing it? Just do it his way, and if it's wrong, you can say, well, you know, Frank, I just did what you told me to do. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. This is our tough stuff, men. Ladies have the modesty stuff. You know, they've got the working stuff. They've got the pain and the childbirth. And they got their. This is our stuff. This is our painful stuff, to have to work out there and be amongst what we're amongst and be the Christian. And I don't know. I say it again. You overheard me say this. So put it on the record anyway. I don't understand why a woman, unless you have to, which I realize a lot of you have to, would you choose both curses? And that is the painful childbirth, da-da-da-da, and the man's curse of having to work. Other than I know it's easier to go get a job someplace than it is to bring your children up and be your mother and be the mother at home and be the wife at home and the dinners and all that stuff and love everybody and keep it all together at the house. That's hard. But I don't, for the likes of it, don't know why ladies try to do both. Unless, like you say, I know you, Janet, you have to. See, this world, this economy has forced us all to go their way. This world is out to just make, what's the phrase there? It's, we're not able to attend upon the Lord without distraction. We've got distraction coming out of our ears, trying to serve Him properly. We're talking about tonight is serving Him. And we're looking at the verses that talk about how you serve your boss, your master. Let's go one more to Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Colossians 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Boy, wouldn't that be nice if we get paid fair? And we all think, well, we can sure make... Who's being paid fair when you get a $12 million bonus or whatever? Or they negotiate from $4 million to $6 million or something. Somebody is just... I'm not a socialist at all, but some of these people whose companies are going under are taking these millions of dollar bonuses. That just is not fair. So this is a verse where the bosses ought to be reading. But they'd have to be a Christian. They'd have to be a Paul-following Christian. They'd have to realize that all things are lawful, but to be a good master, here's what you do. And we as servants should be doing the same thing in return, and that doesn't happen. Maybe sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, I guess. I don't know. My frustration is, for what it's worth, I guess, I've taught for 40-some years, I'm on the year scale of an 11-year teacher. Now that is not fair. I've got 29 years of unpaid service. I could complain and whine about that, but that's what happens when you change jobs in teaching where they go back to the beginning again. If I'd have stayed in Vegas, I'd be making mucho bucks, but I wouldn't know anything about the Paul stuff. I'd be a good old Baptist, Ruckman Baptist, and who knows the kind of music I'd be playing in school now down there. So it was just time to move on and learn what I've learned and get out there and be like Paul says, a servant of Christ. Now, those are the things that talk about how to be a servant. Now, let's go back and let's do the introduction here. That was the conclusion. Paul in Romans 1:1, he's called a servant of Christ. Go to Rome. This will be quick now. Romans 16. Let's go back to Romans 16. Romans 16:1, I commend unto you Phoebe, lady... Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria. See? You're a servant of the church. You have a place in that church. The body of Christ, that local crowd right there. And I'm not against, if anybody asks, I'm not against local church. I'm just against local church lying and making it what it isn't and not teaching the truth. It is not a house of worship. It is not a house of prayer. That's where you go to meet the brethren, be encouragement to the brethren, vice versa, and hear the preaching and the teaching. That's what it's supposed to be. And according to Ephesians chapter 4, we will come together as a family with one doctrine. We'll learn the truth. That's what church is supposed to be. Not a place where everybody in town comes because everybody in town likes it, having favor with all the people. Not a place where the apostles' doctrine is taught. Etc., etc., etc. Like I say, I repeat myself all the time. So there's Phoebe. She's got a place in that group. 1 Corinthians 9:19. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9:19. Paul says, "For though I be free from all men," because, you know, he is, he's Paul, you know, "yet have I made myself servant unto all." So Paul is willing to be the servant. And maybe that's what I'm losing as I get older or slow down more or discouraged about money or people or numbers and all that kind of stuff. Or like this guy calls and says, "Oh, I love the site." And I'm thinking, well, you haven't looked at it that closely. I'm not going to hear from you again. I know I won't. You know, no, we're here for other people. This website is here for other people. And it's here for you. And it's here for me because I learn as I put this stuff together. Now, let's go to Galatians 1:10. Just over a little bit there. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And we know that many of us, many Christians out there, they are serving to please men. They're trying to seek to please men. They want friends. They want to be liked. I mean, here I am in this little town. I got teacher acquaintances in a couple different houses, but the rest of them live in the big city anyway. As far as a friend goes, I have no friends here. I have internet friends. And I'm not even sure we would be friends other than the pastor-congregant relationship for most people. I don't know. So people are tired of not having friends. They're tired of being alone. And I understand that. We have family. Well, right. We go to Colossians 4:12 and we see another one, Epaphras, who was one of you, a servant of Christ. So we are a servant of Christ. And so if we are a servant of Christ, we sure don't have to worry about our master, do we? Now, he's got that nailed down to be, he's the perfect master. So it's just up to us to do what he would have us to do. And we know again, Romans 12, he doesn't ask very much of us, just a reasonable thing, reasonable service. And here's the things I would have you do. Here's the things how you dress. Here's the things how you talk. Here's the things how you work at your workplace. Here's how to do this. You know, that's just to please as the boss. That's just all it is. And sometimes we have become so rebellious in our lives with our bosses that we don't realize that. Better turn this off here. And we don't realize that we are service to that, so that we can't. We've never been a good servant, so why should we start being one now? Okay, another one is Titus chapter 1, verse 1. He says, Paul, a servant of God. Again, Paul is called the servant of God. And so, thus are we, Acts 27:23, when Paul had his shipwreck story being told, he said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, and that would be Christ. So Paul talks about all the time that he's a servant. And that's what we are. Now, a kicker sentence I remember thinking about for years, wondering how we can be the way we are in our preaching, in our teaching, in our conversation with people. I did it because everybody else was doing it. But 2 Timothy 2:24 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. The list goes on. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to buckle down, we're going to give in if they want to have an argument. Paul contended. And if they want to get into that thing, we can still respond back with a soft answer. That soft answer turns away wrath. I've done that as a teacher many times. Soft answer turns away wrath. Parent comes in, they're all upset about something. I want to say, you're kidding. That little thing bothers you? But I just let them talk and just, you know, talk back quietly. The one time I didn't talk back quietly, put the lady in her place, was in South Dakota, and ta-da, I am not there anymore. So, oh well. Then we've got some other verses here too. Here's one here, it says on Romans 1:9, for God is my witness, whom I serve. That's Paul again. He says that in Romans 7:6, but now we are delivered from the law, which we know we are, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit. Should be a difference about us, about how we do these things. Not in the oldness of the letter. See, the gospel people are the oldness of the letter. And we're just like Paul, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. That's our battle as well. And then those people out there that are Bible correctors, they're religious guys, and the false teachers, et cetera, he says here that they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Colossians 3:24, and knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Again, that's us. And I suppose probably the best verse of what we're looking at here is 1 Thessalonians 1:9, and then we'll stop here. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Have we? Do we? That's the question for us. If we are looking for Paul's bottom line, and we're going to have those distractions in our life, are we striving to serve the living and true God, not the unknown God, not some made up God, but the living and true God? And these people in Thessalonians, they showed it in their day to day life, not just by what they said, but by what they did. And that's how we serve the Lord, as did Paul. And then we also carry this into the workplace. We carry it into our homes. We carry it into our day-to-day living, and should have peace. Should have.